Part 4. A Trifling Young Fellow. Mr. Elton returned to Highbury with a self-satisfied smile. His fiancée, Miss Augusta Hawkins of Bath and Bristol, was rumoured to be charming, beautiful, and perhaps more importantly, in possession of £10,000 a year. He had caught both wealth and affection, all in a few weeks in Bath. Emma decided that it was best if Harriet visited the Martin family. It would help her forget. But the visit to Abbey Mill Farm only lasted 14 minutes. Emma did not want Harriet to fall in love again.
"They have been very kind,"
Harriet told her.
"It is a pity they do not belong to a higher class,"
thought Emma.
"But I cannot allow Harriet to mix with them."
On the way home, she was pleased to see Mr. and Mrs. Weston.
"Frank is coming tomorrow,"
said Mr. Weston excitedly.
"He'll stay for a whole fortnight."
Next morning, Mr. Weston and his son visited Hartfield.
"He is a very good-looking young man,"
thought Emma.
"Tell me about life in Highbury, Miss Woodhouse,"
Frank asked.
"Do you ride? Are there pleasant walks? Are there bourns?"
Emma was aware that Mr. Weston was watching her and Frank Churchill together. She knew what he and Mrs. Weston hoped for, that Frank and Emma might fall in love and marry. Mr. Woodhouse, however, had no such idea.
"Poor young man,"
he said.
"Did you have a hard journey? Will you have some gruel, sir? Some Hartfield gruel?"
"I must pay one other visit in Highbury,"
said Frank.
"At Weymouth, I met a young lady from here called Miss Fairfax, I believe. It would be polite to call on her."
Next day, Emma went out with Mrs. Weston to show the village of Highbury to Frank. Seeing the Crown Inn, he immediately said,
"We must organise a ball here."
"Did you pay your visit yesterday?"
she asked.
"Yes, indeed. The aunt talked and talked."
"What did you think of Miss Fairfax?"
"She looked very pale, almost ill, but very elegant."
"Did you see her often at Weymouth?"
Frank had seen the village shop.
"Forgive me, but I must go in and buy some gloves. Then I shall be a true citizen of Highbury."
Inside the shop, he chose the most fashionable and expensive pair of gloves.
"Yes, I met Miss Fairfax frequently, with the family of Colonel Campbell. The Campbells are very warm-hearted people."
He paused.
"By the way, Miss Woodhouse, have you heard her play the piano?"
"Yes, she plays charmingly."
"Yes, Mr. Dixon, who is an expert in music, always asked her to play."
Emma smiled. Her imagination had been correct. Jane Fairfax and Mr. Dixon were in love.
"Is Mr. Dixon very musical, then? Miss Fairfax is so reserved that she told us nothing about him."
"Yes, he loves music. He said no one played as well as Miss Fairfax."
"If I had been Miss Campbell,"
said Emma,
"I would have been jealous. But Miss Fairfax herself must have been embarrassed by the flattery."
"I do not know what her feelings were."
"Of course not. Miss Fairfax is so reserved that her feelings are known only to herself."
"True. It is impossible to love a reserved person,"
agreed Frank Churchill. The next day, Frank Churchill disappeared from Highbury. He had gone to London to have a haircut. It seemed frivolous to leave his father just to have a fashionable hairstyle. But in all other ways, he was an excellent young man. He was open, cheerful, lively, attentive, warm-hearted. Emma was not in love, but she would allow others to think that she was. When Mr. Knightley heard about the haircut in London, his face grew dark.
"The young puppy. He is just the trifling, silly young fellow I took him for."
Emma, however, had her own problems. The Coles had invited her to a party. The Coles were a family from a low social class, but their business had done well, so that now they were rich. Emma, the mistress of Hartfield, was far too snobbish to accept their invitation. But they had invited all her friends. Frank Churchill would be there, but not Emma. Perhaps there would be dancing.
"What do you think, Mrs. Weston?"
she asked.
"I cannot accept, can I?"
"It would be an honour for them if Miss Woodhouse came to their house. Accept their invitation, Emma."
This was really the advice that Emma wanted to hear.
"Very well, I shall accept. Will there be dancing, do you think?"
In the evening, the carriage took her to the house of the Coles. Mr. Knightley arrived at the same time in his own carriage, instead of walking as he usually did.
"I am pleased to see you travelling like a gentleman,"
she told him.
"Nonsensical girl,"
he replied affectionately. Frank Churchill seemed to want to spend all his time with her at the party. But there was interesting news.
"A piano has arrived at the home of Miss Bates," said Mrs. Cole. "It is a very handsome instrument. It is a gift for Miss Fairfax, but no one knows who has sent it."
"Of course it is from Colonel Campbell."
"Yes, it must be, but he has not mentioned it in his letters to Jane. It is a great mystery."
Emma smiled secretively at Frank Churchill.
"Do you think it is possible that Mr. Dixon has sent the piano? I believe that Mr. Dixon and Miss Fairfax were a little in love with each other. Did you know that he saved her from drowning?"
"Yes, I was there. Miss Fairfax nearly fell into the water. Mr. Dixon caught her. It all happened in a moment."
"A moment is enough to fall in love. I am sure that the piano is a gift from Mr. Dixon,"
she said.
"Yes,"
agreed Frank.
"You must be right."
Soon, Harriet and Jane arrived. Emma saw that Frank was staring intently at Jane Fairfax on the other side of the room.
"What is the matter?"
she asked. He woke as if from a dream.
"Excuse me, I am very rude. I was looking at Miss Fairfax's hairstyle. It is very strange. I shall go and ask her about it."
While Frank went to speak to Jane, Mrs. Weston sat with Emma.
"Do you know that Mr. Knightley has lent his carriage to Miss Bates and Jane so that they did not have to walk?"
"Indeed,"
said Emma.
"Mr. Knightley is always very kind and thoughtful."
"I think it is more than kindness,"
whispered Mrs. Weston.
"I think he is in love with Jane Fairfax."
"Mr. Knightley and Jane Fairfax?"
exclaimed Emma.
"No, Mr. Knightley must not marry. Isabella's children would not inherit Donwell Abbey. Poor little Henry, and Jane Fairfax of all women."
"Jane has always been his favourite, as you know."
"Please, Mrs. Weston, do not become a matchmaker. Jane Fairfax cannot be mistress of Donwell Abbey."
"Perhaps he has sent her the piano."
"Mr. Knightley does nothing mysteriously. I do not believe that he has any idea of marrying Jane Fairfax."
"Well, Frank wants you to sing with him. Go to him, Emma."
After Emma and Frank had sung at the piano, Frank sang with Jane Fairfax. She played with great talent. Mr. Knightley sat watching them with Emma.
"The piano is a very kind gift from the Campbells,"
she said, testing him.
"Yes, but they should have warned her that it was coming. Surprises are foolish things."
He paused, looking angrily towards the piano.
"Frank Churchill is asking her to sing another song. She is already tired. He only thinks about his own pleasure. He is a trifling, silly young fellow."
He spoke to Miss Bates, and she rescued Jane. Dancing followed. Emma and Frank Churchill led the dance. She looked to see if Mr. Knightley danced with Jane, but he was talking to Mrs. Cole.
"You dance beautifully, Miss Woodhouse,"
said Frank Churchill, as he helped her into her carriage at the end of the party.